right, so before we do anything, we got to go to God in prayer. Because if we leave this up to me, I don't know where we'll be. Like 30 minutes, we'll all be in the parking lot doing push-ups, and that doesn't even make sense. So let's pray. Lord, it's an honor, God, to be able to preach your word, to be able to talk about truth with a family who I love. So thank you for this, God. But I can't do this. This is not me. There's nothing I can do, God. I need you. We need you. So I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth this morning will be yours. I pray that everything that's discussed will be truth and can be shown how it's backed by your word. So I pray that you will give me the ability to clearly, concisely convey your truth. I pray that you will soften all of our hearts so that we can take this truth and courageously apply it to our life, because that is difficult sometimes. So help us with that, God. We are here to glorify you. We are here to honor you. So help us do that, Lord. This is for your glory and for the benefit of those who are lost and broken. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So we've been talking about, like, past 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about the upside-down kingdom. All right? It's been good. The concept of it is that God is building a kingdom here. All right? God is building a kingdom, and it looks different to us because he's working on a divine level, all right? And the way God works is a lot of times very different than how we work. So it looks confusing. It doesn't work with the way we work. So that's what this upside-down kingdom concept is, all right? And then 2 weeks ago, for the past 2 weeks, we brought up this definition of a kingdom. This definition of the kingdom that we talked about is the kingdom is the king's power over the king's people in the king's place. So we have talked about the king's place. We've been talking about that, and we're going to continue talking about it. We've talked about the king's power, and we're going to continue talking about that. But this week, and even next week, we're going to focus more on kingdom people. All right? Who are the king's people? All right? We are. And what does that look like? And that's what we're going to kind of be talking about. All right? We're going to be unfolding our foundational truths, all right? And as we talk through this, we need to apply this to our church, Grace Church, and the church as a whole, but we also need to apply this on an individual level, all right? We need to be looking at ourselves and making sure we align with these biblical principles, all right, so that we can go out and we're effectively and efficiently carrying out God's mission, all right, to make more and better followers of Christ. All right, so we need to answer the question, who am I? And this is a question that I would venture to say all of us have been asking our entire life. Who am I? Who am I supposed to be? Am I doing this right? This is a question that we spend an entire lifetime trying to answer. All right? And even when we figure it out, even when we think we got it figured out, a lot of times things happen, like a global pandemic or, I don't know, a divorce or something will happen, and that's going to make you question, man, I thought I had it figured out, and I don't know if I do. Is this really who I am? All right, but we need to figure that out, okay? Because who we are, that's gonna let us know what our purpose is. All right, it's gonna drive our identity. So enable for us to know who we are, all right, and what our purpose is, what our mission is. We have to understand who we are. Now, who we are is driven by the biggest voice in the source in our life that is speaking to us the most and the clearest. So what is that source? All right? Obviously, we're here in church. We want that source to be God. Let's be real. Is it? Is that source that is speaking the most and the clearest into your life, is it God? Okay, so how do you figure that out? Well, where's your identity? Do you find your identity in work, in hobbies? Do you find your identity in family? These are all really good things, but are they better than God? No. Hands down, no. All right? In fact, those things, you're doing a disservice by not putting God first. Finding your identity as a parent or as a profession, those are great things, but not finding your identity in it. Finding your identity in God will allow you to do those things better than they ever would if that's your sole focus. So we need to look inward. And guys, like for real, look in today. Look inward. Look at yourself. Be real. Have the courage to do a self-assessment throughout this talk for the next whatever and throughout this week. You got to look at yourself. What is that biggest source in that voice that's speaking into your life? All right? Because we need to find out who we are. We need to find out what our purpose is. We need to understand our identity. All right? So we're going to be talking about some values, some things that we consider unchanging truths, foundational truths, things that we will not falter on, things that we believe as a church and individually. So, what are they? There's five of them, all right? And I'm gonna have little pieces of scripture to go with each of them. I'm trying to lay out the plan here, guys, because I got a bunch of material and I'm not trying to be up here forever because it's kind of stressful. So I have grace. So there's going to be five of them. Take notes, take a picture, do what you got to do. We're going to go to number one, biblical authority, all right? Biblical authority. This is truth. We believe that the Bible outlines a better way to do life because it's true. God says what is true about himself, true about life, and true about this world. This is biblical truth, and we believe this. God's word, the Bible, is above all else. That is what we stand on. That cannot be faltered. Try it. We'll stand strong. We are kingdom people, right? All right. So, we're going to be talking about Matthew 4, 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Makes sense. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. All right. We've all heard this story. Awesome story, right? Let's lay a little groundwork, a little context for what we're going to be talking about here. About 2,000 years ago, which is when this took place, the hope of every Jewish parent was for their son to get accepted and to go to Hebrew school, right? And to excel in Hebrew school and take an exam and do great on the exam and then be able to sit under a rabbi and receive schooling. And then for their son, that child, to go on and be a biblical scholar themselves. This was the hope of every Jewish parent. Not only would it equate in their minds to success for their child, but that's your ticket out of poverty. Because if you're not a biblical scholar, you're just a working class person, right? Which I think is awesome. But we're talking about the Pharisees and how their minds are a bit skewed and their perspective isn't quite on. So this is where we're at. That sets the tone, all right? So now we got Andrew and Peter. They're fishermen, right? So they're in about their upper 20s, possibly even their early 30s at this time, all right? Jesus comes along. Well, if they're in their late 20s and early 30s, what does that mean? That means, man, that means that they got passed over. That means that their chance that their parents hoped for, that passed them by. They're not going to be biblical scholars. They're not going to go to Hebrew school. You do that when you're young. So they're set in their life to be fishermen. They're going to dirty hands and fish smell for the rest of their life. All right? That's what they got going on. Jesus comes by, flips their life upside down. All right? Do you think they followed him because they understood what he was talking about? Or they understand the concept of what he was saying? No, he just said, come follow me, and they did. If Jesus was like, hey, what's up, guys? Come hang out with me, because you're going to walk on water. You're going to see me murdered. I'm going to raise from the dead. Lots of miracles. They would have been like, yeah, I'm not going to follow this guy. I don't really know what's going on with him. He's kind of crazy. No, he said, come follow me. He said, come and see. And we're going to talk about come and see a little bit later. But they followed him because this is awesome. They followed Jesus because he was the first person in their life that offered them something that they never considered for themselves. They followed Jesus because he came along and he offered them something that they thought was lost for them. And they said yes. They made a decision. They made a choice. They adjusted their life and they followed him. All right? It all starts with that one choice. All right? It all starts with that one choice. Do you believe that the Bible, that God's word is above all else, that that is truth? Do you believe it? Because as we talk, we're gonna come across some things that conflict with what we think is truth. So are you willing to make that choice Peter and Andrew made and to adjust your life? They valued Jesus and they adjusted their life and he revealed their purpose. All right? Within 3.5 years, this is what Jesus did for just Peter, just one man. In 3.5 years, Peter learns who God is. Jesus tells Peter who Peter is to God. And then Peter gives his life to a mission and purpose that changes the entire world and each one of us individually. In 3.5 years, because of one decision. Biblical authority is this. The Bible tells us what is true about God, what is true about ourselves, what's true about the world. And if we're willing to adjust our lives according to what he says is true, we'll experience a better life. Number two, relational intimacy. All right? This is grace through faith. We believe it is possible for any person to be forgiven and reconnected back into an intimate relationship with God by grace through faith in Jesus. Belief, truth, cannot be faulted. That is what we believe, individually and as a church. Grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We're talking about Matthew 9, 10 through 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I'm talking about self-righteous here. All right? Pharisees, Jesus is eating with a bunch of lost and broken people. Amen, right? That's what we should be doing. Bunch of lost and broken people, Jesus is coming beside them, meeting them where they're at, to have a relationship with them. And the Pharisees want to judge that, they want to criticize that, but they don't want to do it to Jesus' face, right? They're kind of, one of his disciples maybe had to make a head call or something, maybe he's got to go to the bathroom. So the Pharisees come over and they kind of corner him, they're like, "Hey, what's your master doing? You know, we don't want to ask him, we'll corner you and ask you." So Jesus, being as smooth as he is, kind of slips away from the party. And he comes to help his boy out here. And he's like, "Hey guys, what are you doing here?" And he straight matter of fact tells him, "Yeah, you know, a hospital's for sick people, guys. Like, common sense. Think about it." All right? And then, in Jesus' hilarious way, he quotes Old Testament scripture to the Bible scholars. You know, they have it memorized. They don't know what it means. He straight up tells them that. But he quotes scripture to the Bible scholars, and says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." All right? Jesus doesn't want fattened faith. He doesn't want a church walls where we come in and we simply just serve ourselves and get complacent and lazy. No, this place exists to equip us to go out and to help and save and speak to lost and broken people in a lost and broken world. And we tell them that because that's what Jesus wanted us to do. All right, we give them an opportunity to know Jesus, to experience Jesus, so that they can have the same thing that we know about. Okay, so everyone knows this amazing John Wooden quote. You can do anything if you work hard enough, right? It's amazing, right? It's so motivating. Not forgiveness. You can't work hard enough for forgiveness. That's 100% Jesus. All right? We get forgiveness by just putting a little bit of trust in Jesus. You have that choice today. We talk about choices. We've been talking about choices this whole time. We talk about this upside down kingdom. A choice you make once and then a choice you make every single day, every single morning, every single hour of your day when temptation comes in, whatever it is, you make these choices. All right? Just a little bit of faith in Jesus and he grows you. All right? And not only do you get forgiveness, guys, listen, let me list of things, a list of things that God graciously gives us. We get forgiveness for all of our past sins. The ones we're wrestling with right now. The ones we're going to go home and wrestle with today. In all of the sins that we will endure for the rest of our life until we are in heaven. We get forgiveness for all of that. Amen, right? All right. Not only that, we get adopted child status. of God. He adopts us. We're his child. Not only, we don't even get just a second chance. All right, it's not just a second chance. It's new eternal life in Jesus. That's better than a second chance. I want the eternal life in Jesus. I don't want just a second chance. All right, and then, lastly, this is fantastic. We get God's Spirit to live in us, to lead us, to strengthen us, to heal all of the broken parts of our life. We get that. Amen. Just by putting a little bit of trust in Jesus. It's a choice. Make it. All right? One question God asks in response. One question. Do you believe I can do this? Will you put a little bit of trust in me? That's his question. Do you have the courage to answer that question today? Because you got a room filled with people who are willing to come beside you and help you answer that question. All right, number three, right? That's three. There we go. Spiritual formation. All right, this is the process or journey of rethinking our ideas, our thoughts, and beliefs with what Jesus says is true and better and actually works. All right? It's a fancy way of saying discipleship. So, yeah, this might be a hard pill to swallow, but I want you to think about it. Everyone in this room has lived their life perfectly up until this point to be experiencing what we're experiencing right now. And if we're experiencing something because of our sin, because of past sin, we're experiencing the repercussions of that, it's hard to swallow. But it's true. All right? But like any journey, it starts where you're at right now. All right? We can't sit up here wherever we are and be like, listen, I'm going to come to church when I get my stuff squared away. Or I'm going to join that life group when I feel better about all my problems. Or I'm going to start reading the Bible when I have more time. No, like, because there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. That's just how life works. Make your decision, make your choice. It starts now, like any journey. Why, if you're going to make this journey, why procrastinate and push it down the road? Start now. That way, when you get to that point, you've been on that journey that much longer. All right? What's the point of this? To become a person like Jesus. All right? And in so doing that, we glorify and honor him. So we're going to talk about the how. There's three little points we're going to work through. Number one is no, and they rhyme. All right? All three rhyme, so pay attention. No. Get to know Jesus. All right? John 17:3 says that now this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's eternal life. Knowing God. Start now. If you think about it, Jesus talked a lot about what eternity is going to be like with him, right? You know what he talked a lot more about? How to live now before we get there. Right. Yep. He talked a lot more about that. There's a reason for that. We want to get to know him during this so that we can be with him and experience those things that he talked about when we're in eternity with him. All right? And the Bible's awesome because not only does it show us what's broken or untrue about our lives in this world, but it continues on to show how to get back who you truly are and who God intends you to be. So don't just stop at the message of this is broken or this is true or this needs to be fixed. Continue on and hear what God has to say about how to get back who he truly wants you to be. Continue on. All right, number two, grow. Okay, we believe, we believe everything we believe right now, like everything that we believe is true, we believe it for a reason, because something in our past has led us to the point where we believe that this truth is true, right? But what happens when this truth that we believe conflicts with what Jesus says? that's a hard one right there. If you've gone your whole life believing something, and I'm talking about big things, but I'm talking about little things too, little decisions that we make. What happens when this thing that you have believed your whole life or for a very long time that's ingrained in you, you come across some scripture or something that God shows you that this conflicts with what he says? It's one of these choices we talk about, and it's a hard one, all right? But it doesn't mean you run away from it, and it doesn't mean you ignore it, okay? Let me use this example. If I get in my car this morning when I was coming here, I'm walking out to my car, and I'm like, oh, yeah, my tank's full. totally full. I mean, I know that. It's my car, right? And I get in my car, and I'm like 3 miles into my ride, and I stall. I ran out of gas. Well, my truth that I believed was just shown to be false. Reality proved that what I thought was true was not in fact true. So I had a choice. I have a choice to make right there. Do I say, I'm like, yeah, my tank was full. Let me justify it. And I must have a huge hole in the tank and, you know, whatever. Or I realized that, yeah, I was wrong. Now I got to get gas and figure out a way to get to church and talk about my three rhyming words. All right. And I was talking with a guy this week, and I was like, man, this is really cool. This kind of fits into what I'm talking about. So I want to say it. We're talking about growth, and me and my buddy were talking about praying. And a lot of times, you know how we ask for big prayers? Like, God, please just do this big thing in my life. You know, please do this big thing. And it doesn't happen, and then you get frustrated. Well, that's not, you know, God doesn't always work like that. He does. God is more than willing and able to answer everything and anything. But it's not always beneficial to our growth. So he doesn't do that sometimes, all right? But what he does instead is he gives us choices, little small ones, all right? Little small choices to make. And when you look back 2 or 3 years later, or even longer or shorter, you say, oh my goodness, that big prayer did come true. God just didn't do it at one shot. He did it through a bunch of small, little choices. And here I am, not only with this answered prayer, but with growth, spiritual growth. 3, show. Pretty much plain and simple, guys, start living out our faith. How do we do that? Serve others. All right? We could do it here at church. All right? And that's beneficial. There's also benefits to going out and serving others too. Like, we need to be equipping each other so that we can go out and serve others. All right? Both are very important. Both need to be happening. Both, you know, neither of them should be neglected. We have to be doing both of them. All right? James 2:17 straight up says it, like all of the book of James says everything extremely in your face. In the same way, faith by itself is not, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith without works is dead. All right? We don't do works so that we can have faith. Flip that around, because that's what the Pharisees did. All right? We have faith in God, and it leads to works. We do things for God to glorify Him because of the heart He's given us. So just don't, you know, we don't want to get confused and have a focused-minded, I'm doing things, I'm checking boxes off, because that's not faith. Faith comes first, and it will lead to works. And we have a church where, man, there's so many people on fire, and so many people stepping up, especially in the past couple months, people stepping up and serving, sacrificing time, talents, treasure, to further the kingdom of God, not just within our walls, but outside. All right? That's awesome. If you're not stepping up, guys, take that little step of faith. Step up. Serve. All right? Whatever it is. All right? Maybe it's doing something that's extremely scary, like, I don't know, talking about God in front of 170 people when you're super scared. Well, I don't know. I'm just hypothetically saying, but take that little step. And if you've already stepped up and you're serving and you're doing awesome and God's working in you, have the courage to step in just a little farther. And I'm not just talking about in here. I'm talking about out there. All right? But guys, we got to do this together. We've talked about that analogy about one hand up, one hand down. We are never too short in our walk with Jesus to bring someone along. All right? There's always been someone that's been following Jesus less time than us. Grab them. Teach them. Disciple them. Mentor them. Show them. Just talk to them. Have a relationship. While you're reaching up, and someone above you is helping you come along. We do this together. We lock arms, all right? Not just Grace Church, but followers of Christ. We lock arms, do this together. We are kingdom people. We cannot be defeated. The victory is ours. All right, 4. Man, I was going to, like, I had my phone in my pocket too. I was like, I'm going to time myself. I didn't. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to go through. I don't even know where we're at. No one tell me. All right, 4. Excellent environments. All right, so listen, I'll give the definition, and then we're gonna talk about this. It might get a little hairy, so listen. All right, excellent environments. We believe in creating environments and opportunities as well as removing obstacles so that lost and broken people can experience Jesus for themselves. All right, up until now, we can agree on every single thing we talked about, the three topics, all right? Biblical authority, God's word overall, relational intimacy, grace through faith, all right? And then spiritual formation. We can agree on these things, all right? This fourth one, the how of it all, this is where we can have a little bit of disagreement. I mean, if we think about it, this is what's been disagreed and even argued over since the beginning of church, the how of it. So what do? Well, we look at Jesus. Like everything we should be doing, we look at the example Jesus sets, all right? And I should clarify that the example he sets, I mean, is the one we should be following, but there's some gray area in it, which means everyone's going to have a different way of doing this. Everyone's going to have a different way of reaching lost and broken people. That doesn't mean it's wrong. That means we support each other and we do it together. All right, the more areas we have to attack this broken world, the more successful and bigger God's kingdom is going to be in a quicker amount of time. All right, so listen, we got to look at Jesus' example. He met people where they're at. All right, he related with them. All right, and when he couldn't physically be with them in that moment, he would tell stories and parables that would take things that they can relate to and put a kingdom twist on it so that they could understand his divine perspective from something that they can relate to, all right? This is a window into how we should be operating, all right? Verbally, physically, everything, okay? So, let's take it one step further. I love history, right? Love history. World War II, the European theater's winding down. You got General MacArthur, who is quite the awesome guy, right? He's just slaying it. And he kind of coined this term as all of his leaders would come to him and have battle plans and objectives and ways of doing the things they were going to do. He would ask one question: does it get us to Japan? If it didn't, scrap it, toss it out, next one. If it didn't get him closer to Japan, wanted nothing to do with it. So what's our Japan? We should be asking ourselves, everything that we are doing, does it get me closer to Jesus? All right? And I'm not saying, guys, that well, I can't have any hobbies or do anything I enjoy because does it get me closer to Jesus? No, that's silly. All right? God wants us to enjoy his creation. And that works in a bunch of different ways. All right? But there's a way to do everything to honor and glorify God. Does it get us closer to Jesus? So here we go. Neil, up there, you ready? Lightning round. Three verses. Pay attention, guys. Here we go. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Philippians 2:9-11, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. 2 Corinthians 4:15, Neil, you doing good? He's doing good, guys? All right. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. What is our Japan? Everything we do, everything should be for his glory and for the benefit of lost and broken people. Use this filter. Use this filter. All right? For his glory and for their benefit. Everything that we do should serve these two ends, all right? And it gets a little murky, all right? We're in a pandemic. The church shifted. Things happened, all right? Things may have happened the way that you didn't want them to, or I mean, we all have disagreements and things that things just might look weird to you, all right? Here's the thing, guys. It's the same message. We bring the same message to a lost and broken world. The methodology has changed. It may continue to change, but is it for his glory and their benefit? Then we push forward. Just make sure that we're listening to God, all right? Because if we're not listening to God through this, you get mission drift. And that's where we lose our focus, all right? We lose our Japan, and we start doing things that are sideways energy, and they're not for God's glory and for their benefit, all right? All right, number five. Here we go. Relational evangelism. That's just a fancy way, guys, to say come and see. All right, we mentioned it before, and we're going to talk about it right now. The best ways for a person to be introduced to what Jesus says is true is when somebody cares enough about that person to invite them to come and see what they have found and is helping them and see if it might help them too. Come and see. We're going to talk about John chapter 1, 35 through 46. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard about what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael, told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. And then he said, "Come and see." That's what Phil said. I called him Phil. Kind of make me laugh. Oh, Phil. All right, so what example is set here? This is simple. This is relational evangelism. I can't even say it right, guys. But all it is what Jesus did right here. You got a handful of characters in this scripture. Jesus invites Andrew. What does he say? "Come and see." Andrew invites Peter. What does he say? "Come and see." Jesus invites Philip. What's he say? Nope. He said, "Follow me." I guess. It's hilarious. That's hilarious. I knew you were going to answer. Same thing. He just said, "Come follow me," which is essentially "come and see." And then Philip invites Nathanael, and yes, he does say, "Come and see." All right? Come and see. Decide for yourself. Here's the kicker, guys. If this is convicting, this not me, it's God. The inviters in this story, which are Andrew and Philip, how long have they been following Jesus when they said, "Come and see"? Like 6 hours. They're not even followers of Jesus yet. They just know that this dude is legit and he's offering something that they thought was lost on them. So they're excited. So they're getting people and they're like, "Dude, come and see. Come check this out." All right? That's awesome. And that's what we should be doing. Come and see. Decide for yourself. All right? We do this all the time with everything. Like, I know a handful of times I'll call my brother and be like, "Dude, I just saw this movie. It's amazing." And then we'll talk for like 10 minutes about how fantastic it is. I mean, do we do that about Jesus? Dude, are we calling people or talking to people like, "Dude, you got to know this dude. He is amazing." All right? Is it for his glory and for their benefit? Come and see. Decide for yourself. Not just to this church, not just to this building, but outside, all right? In your borderland where your faith meets the unfaith, all right? Say, Hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Just come alongside somebody. Let them see Jesus in you. Have a relationship with people. All right? Is this a choice? Yes. Take that choice. Take that step. Let God grow you. You want to have that faith? You want joy? You want to experience a life with actual joy? Maybe God's not going to do it just like that. All right? Maybe he's going to give you the opportunity to come alongside someone you work with who you're not even thinking about your relationship with God in that person. But you come alongside that person, and after time, they see this dude's different. This girl's different. What is up with this person? Well, it's because they love Jesus. All right? And then over the course of, who knows, guys, years, decades, it could be this person comes to Christ because of you, and you said, "Come and see." Take these choices. Take advantage of these opportunities. So, all of this stuff is great and dandy and fantastic, right? But if we're not left with some kind of application, it could be null and void. So I'm going to ask 3 questions, and let's take these to our life groups. Let's take these to our spouses. Let's take these to our kids. Let's talk about this stuff, all right? Number 1, what is the most important voice or source speaking into your life right now. Do you have the courage to ask that question? We know what we want the answer to be. We know we want it to be God. Is it though? All right. Take this. I'm meeting with my life group tonight, right? And they're like, oh, geez, right now. What was he going to say? I'm going to ask all of them, tell me, what do you see in my life? What do you see the most important voice or source speaking into my life right now? I could take it. I'm ready for that answer, all right? Some of us might not be ready to hear that, so do it on a smaller scale. Ask your spouse. Ask your kids, guys. All right, take this to your life group, all right? Encourage the people you're walking with in this faith to ask that same question of you, for you to be able to speak truth in their life. It could be a hard truth, but it's true. Are you willing to accept Jesus' truth, adjust your life like Peter, and walk with him? Small choices, right? That's one of them. Number two, would you say you're living your life right now in a way that is for his glory and for their benefit? Ask that question personally and with those you're walking your faith with. If it's not, you're left with another choice. All right? Again, guys, this is why we do small groups. All right? Because it gets real in small groups. We come alongside each other. All right? Everybody in this room is here because they want to know God's character more. They want to become a person that is more like Jesus Christ. Have the courage to ask these questions, and everyone else who's not asking, have the grace and love to answer it, all right? And do it in a way that is encouraging, all right? Let's do this together. Three, are you willing to adjust your life to what God says is right, true, and best? That goes with the first two. The Bible tells us what is true about God, what is true about ourselves, and what is true about the world. And if we're willing to adjust our lives according to what he says is true, we will experience a better life. In a few years, Jesus told Peter who God is. He told Peter who Peter is to God. And he gave Peter a mission that he accepted to follow for his life that changed the entire world. Let's do this together, guys. Let's lock arms as a community. All right, and as we're about to worship in a second here, this song, The Great I Am, man, like, we got to scream this. All right, so let's pray. Lord, God, you are so good. You are so good, God. Man, you sustain us. You give us everything that we need, Lord. You are our shield. You are awesome, Lord. You are faithful. I thank you, Lord, for this community here that is Grace Church. How you've worked in my life and brought people into my life, it has just been a reaffirmation of what you're doing in this community. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that people here are on fire for you. All right, there's always room for improvement and benefit, but Lord, you are doing something at Grace. I pray that we move forward having the courage to ask these questions, that we have the courage to take a real self-assessment and answer these questions and look at these five unchangeable truths that are backed by your Son and ask if we believe these and if they align with how we're living our life. Lord, we love you, and as we're about to worship you right now, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to move and we just proclaim how amazing that your Son, Jesus Christ, is. We love you so much, God. In your name we pray. Amen.